No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Here is your host, Adam Carriker.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome in to the Adam Carriker Show here on 93.7 The Ticket, the show that gives you unique insight, unbridled honesty. Producer Jake and I are going to have a whole lot of fun in the process. What are you going to hear? Well, that's what you're going to hear. What you're going to get is Husker sports, college football, sports in general. All right. Matt Rhule's press conference was absolutely loaded yesterday. And it appears, as always, as though Jake and I were ahead of the curve. We sat here. We talked about Emma Johnson, possible national-type awards. Before Rhule's press conference, was anybody else realistically talking publicly about national awards outside of, you know, the internet? Outside of that, was anybody else? Were we the first ones to really bring it up?
Could be. I mean, I wasn't listening to others on the air.
No, we were doing it. It's just we were. Just give us, we just want.
Absolutely, we were. I mean, we're always first.
All right. We did talk about it yesterday. So if you missed it, you can go back and check out that show. But all right. Emma Johnson was just announced semifinalist for Maxwell Award. And also your college football national player of the week as well. Anything else I missed? That was literally as I was on my way here, I found that out. Did I miss anything else?
I mean, if you missed it yesterday, it was the Big Ten player, offensive player of the week.
Big Ten offensive player of the week, TJ Lateef, co-Big Ten, freshman of the week as well. So, I listened to Rhule's press conference after our show yesterday. And I was just listening. And I was like, man. I kept, like, taking notes. I took another note. I'm like, I'm just going to do a whole show on this. This dude is very happy with where we're at. He's very happy with the people in that building. He's very happy with the coaches. He's very happy with the money that they now have at their disposal when it comes to retaining players and bringing in the best players from across the country. He reminded me, how old is Rhule? Like 50 something?
Sounds about right.
I should just say 70 and see if he gets mad and responds, but he's in his 50s. He reminded me of a kid on Christmas morning. Like, did you watch or hear this press conference?
Yeah.
Dude, he was like a kid on Christmas morning. Like, I got everything I want. I don't have this long wish list of demands and things that we need with Troy this offseason. Like, basically, those were the, I don't want to say caveats, but when the whole Penn State, all that thing was going on, the extension, which obviously he signed the extension, all that good stuff. I never really thought, and I said on this show, more money was really on his radar. Like, not for him. More money for the program he's trying to build was his concern. I think he made it pretty clear without coming out and saying it yesterday that that was his concern, and he's very happy with where they're at. He basically, I'm going to paraphrase, says, not that we were ever a have-not. Nebraska's never been a have-not, but we are one of the haves now. He's like, maybe there's people out there who got a little bit more money than us as far as, hey, paying to retain your roster. By the way, he said all their good players are getting messages right now. Every single one of them are getting messages. The transfer portal window doesn't really open until January. They moved it back to January. And there's no longer a spring portal window, correct?
Yeah.
Yes. Spring game is back. Has it officially been announced? Can we just announce it here for them? No confirmation. Haven't reached out or spoke to anyone. But I'm just going to almost announce that the spring game is going to be back. They better be back. That's all I know. But basically, got the money to retain players. He likes who they've got a lot of young players, got money to go out and get elite players, got the people in the building that he likes where they're at. He has flat out said other coaches that he talks to are like, they're going to be leaving their current jobs, chasing another job that's similar to the job and where the current state of Nebraska's program is. And that also refers to the alignment. The alignment from the president to the chancellor to the AD to the head coach of the football program. When I sat down to listen to this press conference yesterday, I honestly didn't plan on talking about it today because normally if we're going to do it, we do it the day of. I was like, no. Like there's this note and there's that note and there's this note. I'm like, this is a freaking loaded press conference. The bye week is not boring. So we're going to go through this thing. And like I said, he was like a kid on Christmas morning. It was kind of what he reminded me of with where Nebraska is at. Not really pertaining to what our final record will be, but building towards the future. He said, hey, we don't just have two games left. We got a whole month of football. Depending on when the bowl game, maybe a month and a half. When the bowl game is, maybe a month and a half. By the way, he was asked about a Florida bowl game. Said it would be great to play in Florida. You got a lot of Florida kids on this team, from Ja'Cory Barney to Shavers and more. I got the word here. Let's see. A premier SEC team is what he said. I want to get the right premier. Yes, them, they're all premier. by the way, did you see that? Because I put SEC bias in the headline. So if you go to @SEC numbers guy on X, he put this out and I screenshotted it. Texas A&M has more ranked road wins than Ohio State and Indiana combined. Shots fired. Oh, wait, it's not done. These Big Ten schools can only hide behind their powder puff schedule for so long. Then you realize that the AP poll, good Lord, it's a joke. You realize that Ole Miss swapped, let me get this right. Nothing says SEC bias more than Oregon winning on the road at a team who was a top 20 team in the country in a minor tsunami, not a all-out tsunami, minor tsunami in an ugly way, beat up as a team, injured, injuries everywhere at Iowa, winning on the road to a top 20 team recently, all right, and they lose an AP slot. You know who gained an AP slot? You know who they beat? It was Ole Miss. They beat something called Citadel. Let me repeat that. Oregon goes on the road at Iowa, top 20 team at the time, wins a slugfest in the pouring rain, finds a way to out Big Ten, a Big Ten team. By the way, you are now officially a Big Ten team after that game, Oregon. Ole Miss plays, is this a high school? Their local high school there in Oxford, Mississippi. I know what Citadel is. I'm just coding. Coach, joking. My wife did ask me, she goes, what's Citadel? I go, my exact answer was it's a college that the SEC teams rotate playing in November when they get their third bye week in every year. That was my exact answer. They beat Citadel and they're ahead of Oregon and they moved in front of them while Oregon moves back. So the SEC bias, at first it was annoying. Then I started when I was younger, then I started to question it. Is it real? And then it became beyond obvious that it's real. Now it's just laughable. I don't want to spend a bunch of time on SEC bias, but I could not ignore the fact that they want to take a shot at Big Ten schools because of how many ranked teams we do or don't beat. And then, guess what? The SEC bias runs wild where? In the rankings, the people who determine the rankings. So you don't beat ranked teams, but we determine who's ranked, and we're going to use that against you. Does that make sense to you?
People still like to use the eye test. Apparently, they don't appreciate how hard it is to win in Kinnick.
It is hard. So the bias starts in high school. If you're from the South, I guarantee you're going to be rated higher more often than kids from the North because there's a Southern football bias, and I completely understand. I will readily admit Texas, Southern football, it's a little bit more of a religion down there. Okay, fine. Cool with that. But then inherently, Their recruiting classes are ranked higher for the SEC teams. They get a lot of good players. They get a lot of good players drafted the NFL. I'm not saying they don't. What I'm saying is there's a limit to what's reasonable, and then you get laughable and outlandish, and that's where the SEC bias goes into. If somebody came to me and said, I can make an argument the SEC is the best conference, okay, I could hear this argument. When people tell me it's not even close, it's not on the same level, they're the NFL, college football, that's where you lose me. By the way, Lane Kiffin said that last year during bowl season, if you recall. The same guy who also said, why do we want to play in our conference championship game? And honestly, that actually kind of makes sense if you're trying to make a deep run in the CFP. Look at the teams that won their conference championship games last year. The teams that were in the Final Four, none of them were in a conference championship game, although Notre Dame probably never will be because they're not in the conference. But you start with the recruiting rankings being a little skewed. Then these SEC teams have higher ranked recruiting classes. And then they're more talented. We need to rank them higher in the preseason rankings. And then you don't drop a team because they were number 5. But if they'd have been number 20 and had the same record, same resume, they're out of the rankings. But because they started at 5 or 10 because of bias, they're still in the top 25. And now you get more ranked teams and more ranked teams on your schedule. And then you beat more ranked teams. Is this all tracking? This conspiracy theory, the ESPN, I don't know. I'm just going to take a shot at ESPN for no reason. ESPN, SEC bias, is this all tracking?
It definitely does.
Okay, I'm done talking about it. I saw that, and then I got good news about Emmett Johnson. So congratulations to Emmett. And that put me in a better mood, but I already had the notes about Rule's press conference. I'm kind of all over the place here. Is this making sense?
Yeah, you're jumping, but each point makes sense. Yeah, I haven't been lost yet.
Not yet? Not yet. I better give a shout out to one of our good friends, partners, sponsors for this fine program before I completely go off the rails. Actually, I have my notes and I'm following them. My notes just weren't in very good order. I'm actually following the notes in the order that they're in. But as a former Husker and NFL player, I'm a bit of a health nut, hydration, and recovery. Ladies and gentlemen, they start at home. That's why you should team up with Culligan of Lincoln. Soft water means better showers, cleaner dishes, and it protects your water heater and appliances. Their high-efficiency softener cuts salt and water usage. For drinking, make sure you add Culligan Reverse Osmosis. It is like bottled quality water right at your tap. Great taste, and it's certified to reduce tough contaminants like lead and PFAS. Right now, get up to $300 off a whole home system or just $9.95 a month for your first 3 months. Schedule your free water test at CulliganHuskers.com. That's CulliganHuskers.com. Culligan of Lincoln, water you love, go Big Red. I'm actually going to go in reverse order now, because I scrolled down and scrolling back to the top is going to take a while, so I have to do that at commercial break. So we're going to go a little bit of reverse order of my notes because they're all screenshots. So basically what I'll do is I'll talk into my phone because I've always got kids and I've always got stuff going on. I'll talk into my phone and then I get this text every week from, it's called NFL Tips, and it sends it out once a week to all the former NFL players, and it's like motivational and all this stuff. And so I started just like texting all my notes to this thing. For every once in a while, it'll text back, sorry, this service is temporary and unavailable. Please try again. In other words, stop texting us. But it's the easiest place for me to just talk into. I hit send, and then I go back through my notes. So it's in this little text chain with this computer-automated NFL tips things that goes out to all the players that I don't think they like that I text them this, but there's not much they can do about it. Did that make sense?
I'm a little bit lost. I'm not familiar with the software as much, but yeah.
It's not really software. It's just an automated text chain that goes out to all the NFL, former NFL players anyways. Or at least I'm on whatever the list of this list is of people that get it. Okay. Let's see what we got here. So going in reverse order, he actually said, asked about the bye week. How are they going to do practices during the bye week? Said they weren't going to beat him up. It's a 2-bye week year, which I think is going to be pretty much the status quo going forward, which actually I like. If you're going to play, as a general rule, bigger brands, tougher opponents, more games with the college football playoff, I like an extra bye week, especially as the rosters get thinner because the players are second and third string. They're going to go somewhere else where they can play and make money. So I have no problem with the second bye week. He says they're not going to do any, like there's going to be a ton of recruiting, high school, transfer portal type recruiting. All right. But they're not going to put in a whole lot of new stuff X's and O's wise, which I thought was interesting, especially on offense. Okay, are they going to do anything? Maybe he's just saying that, kind of like we were told last week. No, it's going to look the same offensively. And it kind of definitely looked a little bit different with TJ Latif at quarterback. So we'll see what actually happens. But he says they're not going to do a ton X's and O's wise. It's going to be a lot of the younger guys getting reps. There is a chance maybe Glenn Thomas, who, by the way, he pointed out Glenn specifically in this press conference. He doesn't get enough credit.
No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit Hims.com/Hail Mary. That's Hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. Hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Hey, this is Steve Gorman, radio host, sports commentator, former drummer for the Black Crowes. The winter holidays are here, a time for festive celebrations, family gatherings, and ringing in the new year. Whether it's a holiday party, a night out with friends, or just relaxing by the fire with a few drinks, it's a season full of good cheer. But here's something else to add to your holiday plans, a safe and sober ride home. Just like in sports and music, always have a game plan. And the most important part of any plan is sticking to it. If you plan to drink, take that plan a step further. Call a rideshare, a taxi, a sober friend, or have a designated driver lined up before the night begins. Drinking and driving is a decision that can change your life and the lives of others forever. A DUI, a crash, an injury, the consequences are real and lasting. So please, for your sake and for everyone else on the road, make the smart choice. Get a sober ride home. Drive sober or get pulled over. Paid for by NHTSA.
It's interesting because Glenn hasn't been talked about much. With everything that was going on a year ago with Satterfield, I even pointed out, why does nobody ever talk about Glenn Thomas taking over the place? He was the co-OC at that point. Nobody ever talked about him, good, bad, or indifferent, just his name wasn't brought up. And up to this point this year, it's been fairly quiet. But, you know, TJ Lateef goes out, plays well, young quarterback, plays well, highlights Glenn Thomas. And then he basically says, if you're a quarterback across the country, why wouldn't you want to come play for Dana Holgorsen and Glenn Thomas? Glenn Thomas is a guy who's done it for a long time, and it was actually kind of Matt Ryan. I believe Glenn Thomas was his quarterback's coach at one point. It was like, hey, you should hire Glenn Thomas. Matt Ryan, all right, former Boston College Eagle, Heisman Trophy semifinalist, I believe number 2 overall pick in the draft, if I remember correctly, and then obviously played at the Falcons for a long time. Let's see what else we got here. It says a lot of people are, all their good players are basically getting contacted right now. And he just kind of shrugs it off like it's college football. It is what it is. You know, sometimes coaches get hot about it, but what are you going to do? All right. Says at some point he should let people come out and watch the PAT block period. Kind of says Ja'Cory Barney just kind of runs it. There's a lot of yelling, screaming, a lot of trash talking, but Ja'Cory just kind of runs it. I can tell you right now, PAT block can be a very intense period because there's a lot of people crashing into each other. Depending on what the tempo is on that particular practice, that particular day, trying to block the kick, trying to get it off, all that good stuff. One of my big takeaways was, there were several things, but one of my big takeaways was he truly feels good about where the program is. Made it very clear, other coaches want their program to be where Nebraska is now at. It took 3 years to get here financially. It took 3 years to get here alignment-wise. He's got the right people in the building. He's got young players. He feels like they have the ability to retain their young players. And I'm going to point this out. I'm not saying we're going to win a national title next year, but look at Michigan 2 years ago. They had so many players coming back. Look at Ohio State last year. They added Caleb Downs and the running back from Ole Miss, whose name escapes me at the moment. But other than that, they retained everybody. They had a majority of their starters coming back on offense. On defense, I apologize. Eight of their starters were back, guys who could have all been NFL draft picks, almost all of them anyways. Most of them were, after they did go, the guys who left. And, I mean, you kept a lot of the guys that you had on offense from J.K. Dobbins, Emeka Ibuka, guys who were first, second-round picks. So, again, I'm not saying Nebraska's going to win a national title next year. I'm not saying they are or they aren't. What I'm going to say is the key isn't building through the portal. Just ask Deion Sanders. Ask Mike Norvell. Oh, by the way, I don't know how many people caught this. I can't be the only one. He put it out there once, maybe twice, but at least once. There are other people who left Nebraska last year who probably wish they were still here. He kind of had a little smile. Immediately in my mind, it was like Florida State question mark exclamation point. Like, he's not going to say that, but is that what his little smile was about? You know what I'm saying? So, and I'm not trying to take a shot at anybody. The grass is not always greener is what I'm saying. Because he wants people to buy in. He wants, like he said, Emmett Johnson waited his turn. Emmett actually went into the portal briefly. And he said when Emmett was trying to decide whether to come back or not, he said, money wasn't really brought up as how are you going to use me? What are you going to do with me? And if you remember, he wasn't thrilled with how he was being used a year ago at certain points until about November rolled around when Holgorsen got here. So that actually tracks and that makes sense. And I believe him in that sentiment. I'm sure money was brought up at some point, but the driving factor seemed to be, how are you going to use me? What's the plan here? You look at the portal, and if you try to build through the portal, it can't be the foundation of your program. Again, look at Florida State. It worked for 1 year. Look at them since. It worked for, by the way, maybe Shedeur Sanders does deserve to be in the Colorado Football Hall of Fame or have his jersey retired. What was his number retired? Yeah. Maybe he, look at that team this year. Maybe they were better than we realized, Jake. Did that dawn on you at any point? he didn't. But I saw that joke somewhere and I'm like, that's actually kind of funny. If you look at how bad Colorado's struggling this year without Shedeur, without Travis, it's almost one of those things where if you try to make the foundation of your program through the portal, it's not going to work. You want to make your foundation, your recruits, your coaches, retaining guys, building them up, developing, and then you kind of like, all right, we're missing a piece over here. Let's go get a guy out of the portal. We're missing a piece over here. Let's add here. It's like the add-ons. It's like you've got a plain cake that's great, but you might be missing this little topping here, or that little top, or ice, big bowl of ice cream, whatever dessert you want to use, and you're adding the toppings that just put it over the top and take it to the next level. That's kind of how I see the transfer portal. And I think that's kind of how Rule's looking at it as well. He did make a statement, and I wanted to get your quick thoughts on this. He said last year that they won the portal. Last year they won the portal. I immediately thought of Jake Bakoven. I did. What are your thoughts on that particular statement?
Well, it's interesting. You're never going to obviously hit 100% on that or in any sort of recruiting. But, you know, I think that's a good way of kind of looking back on it. And if you look at it so far, I mean, I there's reason to believe, you know, that why he says that. Elijah Pritchett is starting, maybe had some struggles earlier, but he's been, I mean, imagine them without him at tackle at this point. Mm. You look at the receivers, maybe not putting up as big a stats as you might have wanted, but he's talking about them as hunting downfield and blocking and helping, you know, kind of get this thing going. There's plenty of people, you know, Andrew Marshall. I mean, so again, there's names you can point out that maybe aren't living up to the expectation, but he hasn't had the best results. I suppose the first couple of years, this might be, you know, the best result so far.
And the reason I thought of you is we talked about this. You got to remember, like I remember, for whatever reason, I'll remember conversations. I'll remember faces. I don't remember names great. I'm working on that. I got to get better at that. But like conversations from months ago, I'll remember them. Or faces, I'll remember them. And you and I talked once, if not twice, about needing to have a higher batting average in the portal than he had the first year or two. And that's why I immediately thought of you and I wanted your take on it. I would say the batting average, nobody's going to bat 1,000, but it went up this year. But that's why I wanted to get your take on that particular thought that entered my mind right there. Let's see what else we can get to before we go to break. We have some clips today. What's the last one I sent you? Wasn't it a Rule one?
Yep.
Does it fit with? So it sounds like I'm unorganized. I'm really not. What happens is I'll see a clip and I'll send it to Jake. And then it won't be until the next day as I'm putting the show together. But a lot of stuff happened right before the show today. And so that's why my notes are a little discombobulated. the rule clip. It kind of goes with what we're talking about here, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it does. Go ahead and roll it.
What I learned last year was, all right, I mean, some people left, you know, I love them, wish them the best. I bet you some of them wish they could be back here right now, to be quite honest. And then, you know, some people thought about leaving, and like Emmett thought about leaving, and not for money, not for just, hey, what situation, you know, how are you guys going to use me? I bet you Emmett's pretty happy he's here right now. So, but some guys like, hey, this, they're in a good situation. I'm proud of them, excited for them. Like, you know, so everybody will be a little different, but I'm no longer worried about, you know, we got what we need to go get the best players in the country. And they all, I mean, where else can you go? And we walk in other people's stadiums and taking over their stadiums in the Big Ten. I mean, it's pretty elite. So you can come here and have an amazing experience.
Yeah. So that was a lot of what I just chatted about, actually. So we're going to shout out Emmett Johnson one more time. I have a feeling we're going to talk about Emmett a few more times before this football season is over. And these are directly from Rule's press conference. The notes I took directly from Rule's press conference. All right, Emmett Johnson leads the country in yards from scrimmage. He also, all right, leads the nation when it comes to accounting for a percentage of their team's total offense, 37.1% he accounts for. For perspective, think about all the love that, no pun intended, all the love that Jeremiah Love, the running back from Notre Dame, deservedly gets. He's a beast. Would you draft him first round?
I think so. He's up there.
Dude, running backs don't get drafted first round. I take him first round. For perspective, Jeremiah Love, the running back at Notre Dame, is number two in the country and accounts for 29%, which is absurd of Notre Dame's offense. There's a huge gap from 37 to 29. Just think about that. Emmett Johnson is one of only three players in the FBS with at least 10 rushing touchdowns and three receiving touchdowns. He's the only running back in the FBS with four 100-yard games in conference play. And one of the points Rule made, and I thought it was great, was a lot of Emmett's yards, because he didn't play a ton against Akron and Houston Christian. I've talked about that, trying to keep him fresh. He missed 3.5 of those 8 quarters from those 2 games. Okay? And that was by design and very smartly done. So the yards he has, the rushing yards, the receiving yards, they're in conference play. Sometimes you get these schools in the SEC. Well, they're really good teams. Again, I have respect for the SEC. I just get annoyed by the over-the-top, ridiculous self-absorption that they have when it comes to football sometimes. And lack of humility is another way to put it when it comes to football with some folks, not everybody. But he didn't say SEC, but he said sometimes there's teams, they get all these gaudy stats when it comes to a kickoff return or punt return or rushing yards or receiving yards, and it's in, you know, versus teams like an Akron or a Houston Christian, and that tends to sway everything. No, Emmett's yards have come in conference. And Kenneth Williams' return yards have come in conference, his major returns. If you think about, was it USC and Maryland were the two ones that stick out? Those are, you can argue whether they should be, but those are Big Ten teams. Correct, Jake?
Right. Oh, yeah.
Okay, all right, just making sure. All right, let's see. Most rushing yards for a Husker since 2014. You know who that back was?
That's Amir.
Amir Abdullah. You know what he was also? A Doak Walker Award finalist. Just pointing that out for no apparent reason. Most touchdowns for a Nebraska player since Amir Abdullah had 22 in 2014. Again, what award was he a finalist for? I literally just said it. Are you reading text? Doak Walker Award.
Doak Walker
Award. All right. I think we can head to break on that. I got a whole bunch of other notes. We got two more clips. Is there anything off the text line before we go? I know you were busy reading text there.
There's a question here. If you could have two players that transferred out of Nebraska back on the roster this year, who would it be?
Oh, that is an intriguing question. I don't know if it's one I want to answer, though, because my answer is zero, because if they don't want to be here, I wish them the best of luck as they go where they want to be. Now, if I guarantee the intent was if they wanted to be here, they never left, they could stay. But you don't want people here. You don't want to be here. So my answer is zero. Even if some of those players would have technically maybe made us better from a physical standpoint, there's a reason Rule is excited right now. Again, I'm not saying we're going to win or not win any championships next year, how this season is going to end. But when you look at where the program was 3 years ago and how he clearly felt about it walking through the door versus where it is now, giddy like a kid on Christmas morning at that press conference yesterday is how it came across to me. He clearly likes where we're at. Okay, and compared to other teams that we're trying to compete with and beat on the field, it starts off the field with things that you have or do not have. I don't know. Nobody's really popping into my head. I mean, I want to take a shot at James Williams, but no, I'm not going to. Dante Dowdell, oh, it would be nice to have a number two running back, but, you know, he left pretty quickly early on. That wasn't even a hard decision, it didn't seem, for him. nobody really pops in my head. Do you have anyone, Jake?
No, not necessarily. I mean, Jamari Butler threw out there, but I mean, there's not, I don't feel like there's a, like, oh man, we really could have used, I mean, sure, there's a few guys that could have helped with depth and all that, but I don't feel like there's like some huge Prince Willem and Mielen again. I just don't know if there's anybody that's like, man, we really need these guys.
All right. I just got a text from Andy Jurassic. He's got a good one, actually. All right. This is a good one because this guy just entered the portal and he was the number one Pro Football Focus because those guys, we never questioned them at all. Graded right tackle in the country about a month ago at Oklahoma State, Grant Seagram. Would you take him back? Like if you know,
yeah, I mean that'd be one. Oklahoma State is god awful, but I know Pro Football Focus
is also god awful.
Liked him that one week. Yeah,
I didn't mean to cut you off. I just had to put that out there.
I think Dowdell's a good point to you, but then I don't know to phrase it this way, but then would the Emmett Johnson explosion happen?
Would our short yardage situation be a little bit better? That's what they used him for a year ago. Yeah. I know he was the starter, but that's what he was actually good. That was his strengths. I'm going to put it that way. That was his strong suit. Again, Seagram's a great point. I mean, he's in the portal, so we'll see, you know, what happens. But, all right, we're going to head to break. Don't go anywhere. I don't think we have anything to talk about, so you won't miss anything. Actually, make sure you come right back.